Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. What a show I have for you today. My gift to you for the holidays, prematurely. Breast cancer. What you can do to prevent it. I'm going to tie it in with epigenetics. I'm going to tie it in with structure. I'm going to tie it in with emotion. I'm going to tie it in with so many concepts that you can understand because you, intelligent consumer, listen to the show every single week. And those of you new to the show, welcome to a show like nowhere else in America. I do not sell supplements. What I do in this show is ask you to dig a little bit deeper into your knowledge bank so you can really approach holistic medicine with power. Let's get to it. Breast cancer, how to prevent it. If you can, get to the website, as always, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc. If you're driving, of course, and you can't do that, well, just listen. I'll try to describe everything as best as possible. And then when you get home, make sure you get on the website because a picture's worth so many words. Basic concept, science is easy if you have it explained to you correctly. And you got to have that science so you can be the high information voter. All right, breast cancer. Number one, the anatomy of the breast. So on the website, go to picture number one. Here's the reality. Here's the reality of the breast. The breast is a lobule. You can see this easily in picture number one. The lobules make the milk. That's what the breast is. It's a lobule. Then it's a duct. And the ducts are for what? They drain the milk to the nipple. All the emphasis goes to the nipple. On every level, it's about the nipple. Everything's nipple, nipple. Well, it's not supposed to be nipple. The nipple's almost meaningless. It's the duct where you get the cancer. It's the lobule where you get the cancer. Two different types of cells do different things. But nonetheless, both potentially invaded by anaplastic cell growth. Last, the fat. The breast is fat. The breast is muscle. The breast is a lobule. The breast is a duct. The fat part of it, part number three, very important. Why? Because the fat, like a sponge, absorbs the carcinogens, and those carcinogens dump out at some level, depending on their concentration, into the lobule, into the duct, and voila, enough hits and your body responds and you have a bad day in the pathology lab. So for openers, a little bit about the anatomy. We're going to break this down more deeply. Hopefully you're looking at the pictures. If not, just take it in like poetry. Picture seven. Underneath the breast, underneath the pec major, pectoralis major, the breast muscle in men, in bodybuilders. Arnold's always touted there with those great big breast muscles like every bodybuilder, because that's the aesthetic muscle. Underneath that muscle, underneath the breast, is another muscle. It's called the pectoralis minor. The pec minor owns the breast. The pec minor owns the breast. This is the structural aspect to breast cancer. There's an emotional aspect. There's a toxicological aspect. There's an aspect that has to do with structure. This is the structural aspect, just as big as the nutritional aspect. The pec minor, deep, a muscle most people have no relationship with. This is America, the land of cosmetic priorities. So the priority goes to the nipple. The priority goes to the pec major. No, the priority in the name of health has to go to the tissue of the breast, and the priority has to go to the muscle underneath the muscle, the pec minor. We're going to get into that later. Concepts. The breast is fat that holds the poison and leaks it out. The breast is the lobule, and the lobule produces the milk. The breast is the duct, and the duct drains the milk out of the lobule and down into the nipple, out of which the milk is pouring. The breast is the pec minor. The pec minor controls the structure of the shoulder, so that if the pec minor gets short, women with full breasts, larger breasts, will almost invariably, by the time they're 50, have a grossly, grossly shortened pectoralis minor. And that shortened pec minor will hunch the shoulders, bring the neck forward. So the neck comes forward because of a shortened pec minor. The shoulders roll around because of a shortened pec minor. And that crushes drainage from the breast tissue. The lymph, which we're going to get to in a minute, the lymph cannot drain the breast tissue, which the fat is deploying an increasingly large number of carcinogens. And then the cells of the duct and the cells of the lobule are swimming in intercellular filth. They go senescent, they go apoptotic, or they go malignant. That malignancy is a last-ditch effort on the part of the cell to be reborn under the duress, under the gross negligent stress of a filthy intercellular fluid. And that is the story of cancer. You look at cancer, we look at cancer wrong. Cancer is not something to kill. Cancer is something to understand. Cancer is a message from the soul to the surface. From the ethers of the soul to the material plane lives cancer. And its message is change the environment. If you can get that, you can get everything. Preventatively speaking, boy, do you have it down if you can really embrace that. Okay. Concepts, are you following? Yes, you are. Let's keep going with the concepts. Picture number 11. Take a look at that network of lymphatics. Take a look at that network of lymphatics that goes throughout the body. That network of lymphatics is what drains the intercellular space. Now, I've had show after show after show on the ECM, the extracellular matrix. Picture 13 talks about the space in between the cells, the ECM. The ECM is like a gel. Proteoglycans, collagen fibers, all sorts of complexes in the space between the cells that come down to a gel. The question is, what is the viscosity of that gel? Between the cells is a swamp. And as you navigate that swamp, you will find, as the drainage sites congest, all of which we're going to get to in a minute, as the drainage sites of the breast congest, the swamp there becomes thicker and thicker. So it's no longer a gel with one level of viscosity or thickness. It's now sludge. The overall, and here's the word, we're laying down another word now, the overall tonicity of the breast has changed. And it's changed in an alarming fashion. And its change is a prophecy. It's an omen. The change, as the tone changes, because the intercellular space of the interductal cell or the lobular cell, as that tone changes, it reflects a more congested ECM. Your job, first and foremost, if you get nothing from the show, and one thing from the show, that one thing should be to begin to respect the change of tone in the breast tissue. Because long before it goes cancerous, the tone of the breast tissue begins to change. Now, what does that mean to you? You may not have felt your breast in 20 or 30 years, other than a little pit-pat. So I'm going to be emphatic here. Do not think because you know a little bit about palpation of the breast, that you feel comfortable looking for lumps, that you understand what I'm talking about, because you don't. Tonicity. Feeling the change in tone of a tissue is an art form that comes with practice. And the shift here in your mindset, the shift in the gravity of your understanding, the gravity, the depth of understanding, the shift here is to understand that as you work your breast, which is your obligation, if you want to prevent these malignancies, you must develop palpatory skills with the tissue. Because if you succeed at this, you're going to find that the tone changes and that you can feel the tone. As you move towards congestion, you can feel the tone change. I'll give you an easy example. Ladies, PMS. When that estrogen's not conjugating in the liver, when those metabolites, 4-hydroxy or 25, whatever it is, when those metabolites of estrogen in the luteal phase of the cycle, that week before your period, don't conjugate in the liver, the liver doesn't bind them and suck them out of circulation or dump them in the bile ducts and get them out into the toilet. If the liver's too sluggish in that luteal phase, you experience what? Breast tenderness. Not just the nipple. The whole breast is tender. If you feel your breast, you'll note that the tone changes. The tissue feels more congested. Yes, it feels tender. Even if it's not tender, it's thicker. It's harder. It's something about the way it feels that's different. You know what this is like. You know what this is like. When in fact, you hug somebody. When you hug somebody, don't you feel that person that gives you that little extra in the hug? When you hug somebody, don't you feel that person that gives you less than a hug? When you shake somebody's hand, you ever have somebody stick their hand out and you know they're letting you know that you're not even there. There's no contact, no blast off, no connection, no life force. We do this all the time. People do this all the time. Learn to do it when you touch your breast. Learn to do it when you touch your breast. Because if you learn to do it when you touch your breast, you'll begin to feel the rudiments of congestion. This is an absolutely critical thing for women to learn to do, to feel the rudiments of congestion. Because in the beginning, your cell was just irritated. In the beginning, your cell was just inflamed. In the beginning, the lipophilic carcinogens that are stuck in the breast tissue are just dripping slowly into the breast tissue, into the cells. One hit, two hits, 10 hits, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, menopause. Somewhere along the line, that breast will feel different. Essentially, the marker you can bank on, the marker I advise you to bank on, not born out of the ethers, meaning not nonsense. In the real world, it is the change in the tonicity of the breast tissue that will tell you where the breast is at. So health is about relationship with the breast tissue. And you have to have that relationship. If you have a partner, a husband, have the husband take the breast. Your arm is over your head. Have the husband take the breast and twist the breast. Not crudely, not aggressively, not too gently. But have the partner twist the breast and note the response. Does it hurt? Is it far too tender to twist? Or can you twist it? And then in response to the palpation, in response to the palpatory test, does the breast, when you take your hand off after you twist it, does it infuse with warmth? Does it perfuse with warmth? Nerve flow. Does it tone up? Does it feel good? If the fingers knead deeply through the breast tissue, is the breast tissue fibrotic? I'm not talking about those big marbles. No. You see, we've made a mistake there. This notion that palpation of the breast is about looking for marbles or not, and if there's no marbles there, you don't have fibrocystic disease, and that even if you do, fibrocysts and cancer have no relationship. Do not, please, go on that bad, poor, nonsensical track. What protects you from a malignancy, is the absence of congestion. Congestion is measured in tonicity. You can feel it in the tone. And when you knead deeply into those breasts, and when you learn to do that, and it actually feels good, not tender, not painful, not neutral. Oh, it doesn't hurt. That is not the question. Does it feel good is the question. Can you pull the fascial strands that go deep into the breast tissue, around the cells that tie up the ducts, that congest the lobules? Can you manipulate deep into that tissue, twisting it, pulling it, kneading into it, and find that it actually feels good, like a foot massage? When a breast massage feels like a foot massage, now we're talking. But does it? It certainly doesn't before your menstrual cycle. And this is the point. So you do have a way to measure tonicity, but you have to work at that. Now that pec minor is underneath the pec major, is underneath the breast. The pec minor is not intuitive. It's counterintuitive. Take a look at picture number 7. There's the pec minor. Ladies, on your back, on a massage table, a bed, arms over the head, lift up your left arm and see if you can take your right hand across, go underneath the breast tissue, underneath the big flab of muscle. That's the pec major. And underneath the breast and underneath the big flab of muscle, see if you can feel a little itty-bitty strip of tight, hard, and probably painful muscle. That's the pec minor. If you can't, go pay a massage therapist to do it. Ladies, find a female massage therapist that you trust, that you're comfortable with, and have a field day until you can put your finger on that muscle, under that muscle, and then consult show 243 or 244 on my website. Consult some of my shows of the past and stretch that muscle. A tight pec minor does what? A tight pec minor limits drainage of the breast through the lymph nodes. A tight pec minor assures you that arterial flow, the arteries pumping carcinogens into the fat of the breast. A tight pec minor assures you that arteries pumping blood at high pressure into the breast, the fat of the breast, dripping the carcinogen in over the decades, irritating relentlessly the lobular and the ductal cells. A tight pec minor guarantees you will not drain the intercellular space. That's big. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to my website, please, straighttalk.cc, not .com. It doesn't cost you anything, just the time. And it's well-spent time, because in the trenches, it will deliver you from the wrong choices. No one should have breast cancer. We're going to talk about the BRCA1 and the BRCA2 gene. We're going to talk about probability based on statistics, mutations. And yet they're still against that, because you're going to start hearing it. I kid you not, genetic profiling is here. You will be over the next 20 years, over the next 10 years, over the next 5 years, over the next 2 years, thrown a massive dumping of statistics based on genetic profiling that we can now tell you what your probabilities compared to the norm actually are based upon profiling. And on that basis, you're going to be advised to take steps. Angelina Jolie did. And that's the way the machine works. Now, I'm not going to criticize or knock. What I'm going to say is before you take those steps, before you cut off your breasts or take out your ovaries, because somebody tells you you have 10 to 20 to 30 times the probability of having a malignancy by the time you're 50 or 60, before you do that, get more informed and understand the world of epigenetics. Epigenetics. We're going to get into that later. I've done shows on that characteristic over the last 2 months, and I can't do enough shows on that because it's going to take a little time for you to absorb that. But we're going to get to epigenetics a little later. Right now, bottom line, a tight pec minor will kill lymphatic drainage, and you can't take the poisons out of the spaces between the cells. So rule one, you have to have length to that pec minor. You have to know what it's like to find that. 243, 244, my past shows. Then there's the issue of palpatory skill, and we got into it. Grab that breast, twist it, massage it, and take your skill to the point where it feels good. When breast massage feels like foot massage, well, now we're talking. Not scientific? No, very scientific. It's empiric science. Empiric science is as powerful, if not more powerful, than this other kind of science. This other kind of science that makes a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes. A lot of the things we do in the name of science. Maybe I do a show on that in a week or two. Take the last 100 years of scientific fallacies. Things we said we should do on the basis of science, like lobotomies, like hysterectomies, like thyroidectomies, like taking out the gallbladder, even stuff we said we should do, even surgeries we would now even admit were unnecessary. There's loads of them in the last 100 years of science. The flagrant use of antibiotics in the last 50 or 60 years. Another thing we wouldn't do. The way we use chemotherapy already, presently today, the science is pointing to the abuse of chemotactic agents for metastases. There's a whole list of things that science says to do because studies show, and then 5 to 10 years later, it's the last thing we would do. Now, empiric science is different. Empiric science works every time. Empiric science is you do it and you feel the shift in your body. Empiric science is you do it and you get the result. Empiric science is experiential. Empiric science should be used against the double-blind placebo study that is largely too intellectualized and not experiential enough. How could we botch with coconut oil? Coconut oil causes heart disease. The faux pas we made, hard science, hard cardiology, citing that coconut oil with its medium chain triglycerides produced heart disease. We made a mistake. We know that mistake now. In fact, it's the opposite. We should have known. Because those cultures, Indonesia, Polynesia, India, Hawaii, all of whom used the coconut pre-industrial, didn't get heart disease. So we should have known. There are dozens of examples like this. So what I'm asking you to wrap your head around today is that palpatory intelligence is real. And real important, and will deliver you dividends. Stretch the pec minor, learn palpation. Here's another one. Here's another one that you don't hear. Here's another one that you don't read. The gallbladder. Yes, we all know it's important to flush the gallbladder. Perhaps you're new to the show, and no, you're not aware. But many of you listen every single week. God bless you. You're making the right choice. Flush the gallbladder. What does that have to do with breast cancer? Again, you flush your gallbladder. Go ahead. Learn the coffee enema. Drink the olive oil. Combine those flushes. Combine them over 3 months. Combine them over 6 months. Combine them over 9 months. Combine them over 12 months. And note the change in the tonicity of the breast. The cysts will go away. The fibrousness of the breast will decrease. The breast during the luteal phase, that week before the period, before you bleed, that breast will be less tender. You may eliminate all its tenderness. The breast will decongest. The breast, upon palpatory exploration, weekly, daily, will start to soften. It will start to feel good. The tissues stuck together, like strands in the muscular system, will begin to separate. And palpatory examination of the breast will begin to feel pleasurable. You flush the gallbladder on a regular basis like a ritual. Learn the caveats of the flushes, enemas and olive oil. They're on my shows. They're all over the web. They're immaterial to the point. The point is do them and note the change it will have on the tonicity of the breast. That you even understand tonicity. That you understand palpation, that you know where the pec minor is to stretch the tissue, to feel the benefit, and that you would do the flushes consistently, understanding that if you drain the gallbladder, you will accelerate the rate at which the intercellular space drains into the lymph. Yes, the gallbladder's connected to the lymph. All your portals, all the portals of excretion, the skin, the biliary system, the large intestine, even the breath, all drain the intercellular space. Moving the ball, one of the indices of what it means to really move the ball as it relates to the breast, is to get the bile flowing. And of course, you've heard this before. But you see, the breast is a special place. It's a special place because we can feel the breast. We can feel it. It's not the ovary. It's not the uterus. By God, the pancreas? To feel the pancreas? You can't feel your pancreas. The pancreas is buried. It's buried under the belly. It's buried under the muscles of the belly. It's buried under the stomach. It is sandwiched between the muscles of the back. It is anterior to the psoas. It is behind the intestines. It's under the stomach. Point is, you cannot feel the pancreas. Oh, if we only could feel the pancreas. But ladies, you can feel the breast. There is an enormous advantage to trying to keep an organ decongested that you can actually put your hands around. Why? You can squeeze out the poison. You can push the poison. No one should have breast cancer. We should be living in a cancer-free zone, and yet breast cancer is the premier cancer for females. It should not be this way. The brain is encased in the skull. The pancreas is so deep. The ovary. We have many organs, many parts of the body that go cancerous. And we can't touch them, not in the normative sense. But the breast? you can measure the efficacy of everything I say over 6 months to a year because you can touch the tissue. And make no mistake about it, as the tissue gets softer, as the tissue feels better to palpation, you are guaranteeing yourself a gross reduction in a possibility for cancer. Now, of course, where are the studies? You see, where are the studies? Well, we don't have many studies. We can only make inferences. You can only use empiricism. That's the problem in a way, but that's the world we live in. And this is what's being used to deceive you. So these recommendations are experiential. You have to do them and then listen to your gut. I kid you not. There is great intelligence behind that statement. And there is great benefit. And there is great reduction and great increase in your resistance to disease. Okay, let's move. Let's move on here. Let's take a look at the picture. Let's take a look at one of my articles, epigenetics. Let's talk about epigenetics now. You're going to hear that everything I said today is nonsense because there are no studies. It's just right on the end of our nose. It's something we can experience. But somebody from the National Institute of Health, because they weren't given any money to put forth these understandings, it doesn't count. What does count is this, because we have an article. Epigenetic factors controlling cancer. Epigenetic factors controlling the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes. Epigenetic factors controlling these two genes. Now, why does this matter? Because if you test positive for one or both or some combination of these mutations, what you're going to be told is that you have anywhere from 5 to 30 times the chance of getting cancer. That is not anything to sneeze at. Now, they may leave out that if you do all these other things, even published studies may show you have 5 to 30 to 50 to 100 times less chance of getting cancer. But those studies you may never see. One thing for sure, you are going to hear. You are definitely going to hear sooner than later, that based on testing, you have a mutant gene. It'll be called the BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene, one or the other or both, mutations in one or both. And based on some formula, they're going to tell you, you have a highly increased probability. Now, when we say epigenetic, and again, I've done shows using the term epigenetics. I'm going to keep using this word. It is the future. It is reality for you. It's what, yes, you'll be hearing sooner than later at Kaiser Permanente. The armies are forming. The doctors are learning the languages. It's being translated into protocols. It's profit-driven under the guise, of course, of reducing your risk. And it's not to take their sincerity away. Because I'd want to know it if it was me, and you should know it if it's you. So let's make no mistake about my intentions here. You should get tested for the presence of these genes. You should know if you have high probabilities, but you should be fully informed. Angelina Jolie, I am sure, was not fully informed before she made her choice. I guarantee you, she was not fully informed. You want to make an informed decision. Now, what does that mean? It means you have to embrace epigenetics. You have to understand more deeply epigenetics. Now, I did a show recently on DNA is Not Your Destiny, and it talked about deacetylation. It talked about methylation. It talked about adding a carbon with three hydrogens, a methyl group, to your DNA strands to assure you that the gene does not unwind off the histone. Simply stated, genes may have aberrant sequences that represent mutations that are potentially risky, but these genes have to activate. And activation means we have to turn off genes that are silencing, and we have to turn on genes that are off. So on goes off and off goes on before the DNA strand will unwind off the histone. Now, if that's Greek to you, you got to get on the website. You got to understand this. You can't just nod your head. You can't just say this is nonsense. You can't just say you understand, but you really don't understand. You can't just say, well, I'll trust this guy because he sounds good. What you've got to do is understand for yourself. That's why I put the pictures on the show. That's why you go to straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. That's with two T's, .cc, straighttalk.cc. Look at the pictures. Look at the articles. The articles. Don't get headaches over the articles. Just go to the abstract. And then casually garner from the full article what you can. And understand, these are not uneducated doctors. These are scientists with doctorates who studied hard, usually outside the United States, and that's another story, who are trying to give us a perspective on the factors around which the genes will express. And understand that there is an aspect that's under your influence. You have part of epigenetics, part of determining whether or not a deleterious gene, a mutant gene, a BRCA1 and or 2 will express and create a malignancy. Part of that is controlled by you. Not all of it. So understand this term epigenetics is to the rescue. It implies DNA is not your destiny. It implies that when you're told you have cancer because you've got the gene, because it's your heredity, because your parents had it, you're going to get it, and now we can prove it through profiling. Understand there is a term called epigenetics, and part of epigenetics, not all of it. Part of it means you can control the expression of that deleterious gene. Now, part of epigenetics also means you cannot control expression of that deleterious gene. A lot of your epigenetic factors are inherited. It means part of why a BRCA1 gene will express, you have no control over. Not all of epigenetic variables are under your control. And you have to understand that too. You can't twist science into holistic mumbo jumbo. You can't do that. And this is where a lot of the holistic community loses the respect of the medical community. They piggyback off a finding and twist it into what works for them and then sell it. And this we must not do. This is short-sighted. Because then we really miss the truth. So, there's something called methylation. There's something called deacetylation. Both of these concepts imply compounds, methyl groups in particular, that keep a dangerous DNA strand wrapped in silence around the histone, that keep it deacetylated. And this is your protection when you have these genes. Now, there is something called a methylation practice. I have another article here. And the other article is going to talk about the fact that you can actually add methyl groups to your chemistry. Here's an article at Nutrients 2013. Now notice, this isn't done at the local schoolhouse here. This is the Department of Clinical Chemistry out of Germany. These are real people with real educations publishing real articles. As I said earlier, often outside the United States. Hint, hint. We have an issue here in science in America. You lose the support of your peers. I'll be going to lunch with a friend of mine who is just completing his doctorate in pharmaceutical chemistry somewhere in the Midwest. And he can't get behind any of these things. If he were to walk down the halls in his university and tout any of this, he's done. You have to understand, John Q. Public, why your medical doctors, why your scientists have to keep articles like this a secret. You really do have to understand. Because if you get behind this, now you're playing politics. You're playing roulette with your career. Doctorates, scientists, the guys that write these articles don't make a lot of money. That is the truth. There are guys mowing lawns. There are guys that own auto body shops. There are guys that own Frankfurter stands who are taking home per day a lot more money than a lot of America's best scientists. I really, really mean this. I'm close enough to it to tell you this definitively. And it is sad. But it's also beautiful. This is America. And the market dictates the earning. Or at least it has that potential. And my point to you is, a lot of scientists in the United States cannot get behind things they know to be true because there is a prejudice inherent in science for many levels. So a lot of these articles I pull from outside the United States. We have less of that problem outside the United States. Maybe in the future it won't be that way, but it is right now. So look at the article. Again, the abstract. Again, something you should do on your own. The metabolic burden of methyl donor deficiency with focus on betaine homocysteine methyltransferase pathways. If you get into this, you're going to start to learn that something called DNA methylation, you can enhance it with what we call hydrochloric acid therapy. We know we can enhance it. The use of trimethylglycine, which is betaine hydrochloride, derived, in my opinion, from natural sources. That's Healthline or Premier Research Labs betaine hydrochloride. What we call HCL therapy is a therapy that confers methyl groups into the cell, into the DNA. And we know that it is loss of methyl groups, not always. Hypomethylation, loss of methyl groups. It appears, I think without doubt, is part of what we call the aging process. As the telomere shortens, so we see fewer and fewer methyl groups holding to the DNA. And in this process, are implicit in it is activation of deleterious mutations. Well, who got on top of this? This article got on top of it. Not just for cancer, but for health in general. What I want you to do is get on the website. Well, I mean, you're on the website, but go down to picture 19 and 20. Go down to picture 19. Walter Bryant Guy, medical doctor. I remind you, there was a phase, a time, when medicine, in its early stages, 100 years ago, were just a bunch of really smart guys trying to understand the world. They made a decent living, but they weren't rich. And they lived for inquiry. They really lived for inquiry in a far less political, bureaucratically dominated, pharmaceutically driven culture, much less. And we have these gemstones of books, hydrochloric acid and mineral therapy, which that other article I just cited is stating will act as methyl donors. Got to get into this stuff. You've got a great source of HCl, a great source of potassium that's from Premier Research Labs. And then you've got the other book that's picture 20. 3 years of hydrochloric acid therapy. 3 years of hydrochloric acid therapy. That's 3 years of an account by a gentleman with much experience at seeing the benefits bestowed to people's health when using what coming down the pipe is a surefire way using betaine hydrochloride, trimethylglycine, to deliver methyl groups to DNA strands that have been demethylated. Now, as I said in my show a few weeks ago, DNA is not your destiny. It's not just HCl that methylates cells. Health methylates cells. It's not just methylation and HCl therapy that methylates DNA strands. It's balance in the autonomic nervous system. It's sleep. It's everything you bring to the health of your body. But I don't mean supplementation necessarily. I mean the lifestyle that goes with health. Keeping the insulin down, keeping the liver clean, everything that you can add to the list ultimately keeps the balance of methyl groups on the DNA strands in an optimized form, more like it was when you were young, less like it is before you see a deleterious gene express. Can you follow me? Are you willing to dig a little deeper? Get on the website, straighttalk.cc. If you're driving, get home, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc, that's with two T's. Or if you're really lost in health limbo, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. Don't think twice, make the call, talk to my staff. If we can help set you on the right path, we will. Make the appointment with my office. I have an amazing staff. Call them, 714-850-1007. Okay, dynamite. Absolutely dynamite. Methylation, stretching the pec minor, the extracellular space, palpatory massage of the breast, understanding circulation and perfusion into a tissue, the fact that we can touch the breast, twist the breast, when breast massage feels like foot massage, you got it down. When breast massage feels like foot massage, you really got it down. That most of the poisons that create the cancers are lipophilic. They love to mix with fat. If you're a low-fat woman with a high-fat breast, that breast is sitting there waiting to get hit with carcinogens. There's no fat for the carcinogens to bind better than breast tissue. So what we honor in a woman's breast, because it gives the breast that nice shape, is the fat. And yet the fat potentially is a receptacle, especially if the body fat is too low. The fat is a receptacle for the carcinogens. It's where it tends to go. And we have to keep that in mind. You know, another practice that you should avail yourself to are the clays. Premier Research Labs has a great clay. It's the Med Body Pack. Develop a practice, ladies, where you take the clay and you mix it either with water or herbs, and you plaster it and massage it deeply into the breast tissue, into the underarms. Stretch out that pec, let it dry in the sun, and rinse it off. Better yet, dive. Go into ice-cold water after your clay therapy is done. Go into a sauna with a clay pack on the sauna. A clay pack on the breast in the sauna at 150, 160 degrees, an infrared sauna. Or a clay pack on the breast in a banya sauna, up higher than that, different types of heat. Come out and rinse, and then go into the ice pool. Banya therapy. Banya. Extreme heat, extreme cold. Question to you, my audience, what would extreme heat and then extreme cold do to the intercellular space? Well, it would vasodilate it and then vasoconstrict it. Vasodilate, vasoconstrict. Pump the poison out of the breast. Change the tonicity of the breast. Bring the breast to life. Make the breast feel like a foot massage feels. Open up the gallbladder. Stretch the pecs to reposition the shoulders. You're not going to get cancer. The epigenetics of this I just listed. And there's more. Trimethylglycine. Open the gallbladder. Make the bile flow. I'm looking for the studies that would tell us how much we reduce the probability of cancer when you participate in those types of things. How much do those therapies, done correctly, bring down your incidence of cancer? So we weigh the increase in your probability against the decrease in your probability. Where are those studies? See, those studies are not there. Those studies are never going to be done. You will never see those studies done. And that's where the greed is. The solution will not make anybody billions and billions of dollars. And that's where you have to search your soul. That's where you have to use your common sense. That's where you have to respect yourself. Because you're going to Christmas dinner soon. You're going to holiday feast. And your family will be divided. It will be divided. You are the different one in your family. I know you are. You're the one that believes in this stuff. You're the one that's told you're full of it. You're the one that's told you listen to nonsense. You're the one that's told you waste your money. You're the one that's told you should do what your medical doctors tell you. You're the one that's told you're weird, to your face or behind your back. I know who you are. I know my flock. I see you in my office. I know what you go through. I know what shapes your perspective. And I want you to know that if you examine what I'm asking you to examine, you will hold to this like you hold to money. This is money. This is bedrock. This is the rock upon which you stand. And this is science. And it's empiric science. And it's as good a science as any science in the kingdom. That you have to trust. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you're lost in health limbo, you give us a call this Monday. Okay, we'll see you next week. God bless you.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.